this morning. I too have enjoyed being in the book of Joshua. I hadn't preached from here in a while, but 2 weeks ago we started this series, and out of Joshua chapter number 3, we read that phrase out of verse number 4, "For you have not passed this way heretofore," and preached on the subject that Sunday morning, just laying the groundwork for the next 3 Sundays of going away that we've never been before. And that could apply in so many different directions. But then in verse 5 in chapter number 3, the last little phrase says, "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And last week we began and moved on in Joshua chapter number 3 and looked at how they came to the river Jordan, and how the Jordan was swelling and they had to cross over in order to get where God wanted them to go, and how Moses had performed 42 miracles in his ministry, in his life, and yet here's Joshua coming on the scene, and they're still wandering in the wilderness after 42 miracles, after 42 wonders that God had wrought in their life. They're still not where God intended them to be. They're still not living in the full promises of God. And so we looked at the transition last week, the wonder of transition, how God wants to move us from point A to point B. And in order for us to get where God wants us, we got to move. We got to change some things and move past where we're living. And I said last week, and I'm not going to re-preach last week's message, but it's important. You'll see this in every one of these 3 miracles in the life of Joshua. Moses, 42 miracles. Joshua, 3 that we read about in the Word of God right here in the book of Joshua. What's different? What's so different? What changed? What got them from the wilderness and wandering there where they were stuck for 40 plus years and got them actually into the presence of the promised land, right? Living in the promises of God. I said that Moses was a wonderful, wonderful man of God, and he was. And it was not Moses' fault, I don't think, that they did not make it all the way to Canaan. I know he had a part to play in that, but God done great, great things in the life of Moses and in the life of the children of Israel where they were. And I said last week, God has done great things in our life, in our past. If you just look from where God saved you, where God found you, to where you are present day, God has wrought miracles and wonders in your life. He saved you. Amen. That's the greatest miracle anybody can ever experience. And so with being saved, with being one-on-one with the miracle of God, I haven't progressed near as far as I should have. Understanding, I've been in contact, close contact with the God of heaven. He's worked a miracle in my life personally. And you would think that would be one miracle should be enough to get you from here to where we're going. But I can honestly and sadly say, I have not gone as far as God wants me to be today. And so when God saved me, and I think this is true in the life of the children of Israel, when Moses was leading them, Moses was doing these miracles for them. They didn't have any involvement. They were spectators, not participators. They were watching him perform the miracles. But when Joshua came along, Joshua said, it's not going to be that way anymore. It's not going to be you sit on a pew and watch me perform miracles for you. It's going to be, if God's going to do something and get us from where we are to where we're going, you're going to have to get involved. You're going to have to participate in these miracles. And so last week we saw how they did do that in the crossing of Jordan, in that transition, that wonder of getting from where they were past and through on dry ground through the Jordan. Now this morning, chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. The seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. That'll be all the reading we'll do this morning. But you know the rest of the chapter. This is what God's saying is about to happen through his man Joshua. And then the rest of the chapter talks about how they went and fulfilled and performed that very deed. And God did work a mighty, mighty miracle. We've all heard the songs sang about how Jericho's walls fell. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But this morning, last week we looked at the wonder of transition. This morning I want to look at the wonder of trust. You say, what kind of wonder is trust? I believe trust is one of the greatest things that we're lacking. Trusting God in our day and hour. Do you know, it took a huge amount of trust for these people to do what God was asking them to do. They had just crossed the Jordan River. There they were. When they come out on the other side of the Jordan River, the Bible said, and we read this last week, when they came out on the other side of the Jordan River, they were at Jericho. They were there. There they're staring at those mighty towering walls. And they were ready to fight. They were ready to go and take the land and to war. And God said, I don't want you to do that. I want you to just listen and obey and trust me and put your swords down and put your shields down and just walk around the city. One time a day, 6 days, and then on the 7th day, walk around 7 times and then blow your trumpets and then everybody shout and then the walls come tumbling down. That's what we just read. Y'all learned that in Bible school and in Sunday school. But I want to look at a few things this morning hurriedly. I think one of the greatest qualities in a mature believer is learning how to trust God. I don't care how long you've been saved this morning. Can anybody honestly say this morning that you have cornered and captured the entirety of learning to trust God? Or can we be honest and say there's times in our life that we fail in the area of trusting God and believing He knows best? Even when it don't add up, even when it don't look right, it don't feel right, to just simply trust God. And that's where they were at. The Bible says, Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understandings, but in all ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now we know that verse, and we've memorized it, but it's truth. Noah Webster defined the word trust as a confidence or a reliance and a resting of the mind. I think that's a good definition. So God wants to bring us to a place where we trust Him in a situation. Because it's there that we will see and experience the wonders and the miracles of God. They could have scaled the wall. They probably could have climbed it and attempted and possibly even won in Jericho in and of their own strength. But it wasn't the way God wanted it done. And ultimately, they would have been major casualties. And we don't read of any casualties in the children of Israel the way God done it. God done it best. His ways are always best. Trust is developed through relationships. I read a story about a little boy and his daddy in the woods, and they were going through this rough ravine and there were rocks everywhere, and the daddy turned his head for a moment, and he heard his little boy say, "Catch me, daddy." And the daddy turned and looked, and the boy had done turned loose from the top of that hill, and was in the air, midair, and his daddy run around and fumbled and caught the little boy and looked at him and said, "Son, what was you thinking?" He said, "You jumped before you even said my name, before I even knew. How did you know I was going to catch you?" He said, "Because you're my daddy." He trusted him. You know how that trust was developed and matured? Because of a relationship between a son and a father. The same is true in a marriage. And the same is true with us and God. Trust is developed through a relationship. Number one this morning, look at three quick truths. They were circling the walls. And militarily speaking, this was a terrible, terrible strategy. I mean, you just don't go to fight war this way. Looking at it from the perimeter, it looks like they don't have a general. They don't know what in the world they're doing. They just come through a major victory, and here they are. And don't you know that the people of Jericho, the soldiers there in Jericho, that's up on the top of the walls, they're probably looking down. They just watched them they watched 2 million plus people as the Jordan River swelled on its banks, and they marched across on dry ground. You know that the people of Jericho had heard about the God of Israel. And they were probably fearing and wondering, we're next. They're coming for us. The God of Israel is going to do for them what He's done in the past, and we're done. And they were probably scared to death. And I'm sure the people of Israel and the children of Israel were thinking, we've got to strike while the iron's hot. I mean, we're on the move, and God's moving waters and changing things for us, and we're headed to the promised land. Only to get through the Jordan and be staring at them walls. And their leader, Joshua, who hadn't been their leader long, say, they looked at him and say, what's next? What do we do? Do we climb the walls? Do we scale them? Do we go after them? And he says, all right, boys, it's time. Let's get ready to take Jericho. And they said, okay, tell us what to do. I mean, I'm sure they had been sharpening their swords and dipping their shields in the water to tighten the leather and replacing the hatchet handles. They were ready to go to war. And Joshua says, all right, get your stuff together and march around the city. And they look with a puzzled look and think, has our preacher lost his mind? March around the city? Joshua, we'll march around the city, but when we get back, what next? Well, then you come back to camp and you rest. I'm sure you could just hear crickets. They were like, what? And then tomorrow, what do we do tomorrow? Surely we'll go in tomorrow. Tomorrow you march around the city and keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing. Just march. Be quiet. Let the priest blow their trumpets, but you don't shout. You don't whisper. You don't do nothing. You just march. Huh? Do you see how this strategy don't make sense? But day one, day two, day three, I'm saying they were just circling the walls. And nobody understood what they were doing. I'm sure Joshua didn't even know that this was going to be a great plan. I'm sure he doubted it. Brother Jackie, has God ever told you to do something that seemed far-fetched? And you thought, what in the world? Ain't nobody going to believe this. Ain't nobody going to understand this. That's happened to me. But God has never failed me one time. If I would follow Him and trust Him, God always comes through. Always. He never fails. And so here they are circling. And keep in mind, this is that next generation. This is those youngins that were raised in the wilderness. Many of them were born in the wilderness. They were ready. I mean, they were ready to have a real roof over their head. They were tired of living in a wilderness and wandering. They were ready for their land to have something that they owned. And so they were ready. They were ready to fight. They were ready to go. And by the way, all those doubters, they'd passed away. Those spies who thought it couldn't be done, they were dead and buried in the past. The people that didn't believe, their carcasses are still in the wilderness. But these that have crossed Jordan, They were 30, 40, 50 years old. They were ready. I mean, they were people full of fire and full of fight and vigor. They were ready to go and get it. And here they're being told, circle the walls. Pipe down. And just walk. Nobody didn't understand that. I wouldn't have understood it. I wouldn't have agreed. I wouldn't have voted for that. Ain't you glad Joshua didn't take a vote? He just said, this is what God said we're doing, and let's march, boys. That's what happened. Well, they come to their first battle. God gives them an unconventional plan. Don't fight, just march, circle the walls. Can't you just see them as Joshua gave the orders? I mean, they're puzzled. Well, this is a horrible strategy, but God will put us in holding patterns. You ever heard of a plane? Ever been up and they just they're told, for whatever reason, maybe the runway ain't secure, or maybe the runway is not the place where they're going to land is busy, and so, or maybe it's a bad storm and due to whatever, so they put them in a holding pattern and they just fly in circles. Right? Well, here Joshua, the man of God, has put these people in a holding pattern per God's order. God will mess up our own strategies. I'm sure they thought, there's a better way to do this. There's a better way to beat this city. There's a better way to overcome this. And they were probably people thinking, well, who's he think he is? He ain't even a soldier. He's a preacher. He don't know how to battle. He don't know what's best. This don't make no sense. Listen. Have you ever in life had a good idea, you thought, and you felt like this is how this ought to be done, only for God, and it makes sense, only for God to say, I don't want it done that way. I want you to do it this way. And you feel like you're just going in the same places, watching the same people, going in circles and not making any progress. And asking God, what in the world are you doing? I could have already had this done. I felt that way a lot. I've asked God many times, how much longer? How many more times do I have to circle the same walls, the same problems, the same people? I could have done fix this, Lord. Yeah. Don't you think God knows how to fix it better than us? They could have fixed it. But wonder how many people would have died in the process. Wonder how many people would have been lost and left behind doing it their way. God done it a way where not a soul was harmed. And sometimes we have great plans, but God will mess up our plans and put us in a holding pattern where we are circling and seems like we ain't getting anything done, like we are wasting time and just being foolish. Sometimes serving God, I felt foolish. I felt like people just don't get this. To the onlooker, it looks crazy. I remember I was a teenager, and Brother Ned, the Lord, they was taking up an offering, and the Lord told me I just got my first car, my very first car, and I bought it. And the Lord said, I want you to give that car. I said, okay. And I went to the altar and I put my keys on the altar. And my mama and Tommy thought that was crazy. They did not understand. It looked crazy. It didn't look right or normal. They thought he saved all his money and worked for this, and he's just a young dummy. But they didn't know. The Lord had spoke clearly to my heart and told me to do that. And in the end, in the middle of the night, Tommy had to come to my door while I was sleeping good, and he couldn't. I had the peace of God, and he didn't. He was up tossing and turning, and I woke up, and there was a little sticky note on my door. And I walked out. It said, car redeemed. God made him buy it. So God got his money. I got a car, and everybody was happy. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I'm saying sometimes you can be circling the walls and it not make any sense, but God knows what he's doing. Listen, I can circle the city one time and be okay. I'm sure after the first day, they probably thought, okay, we'll follow orders and we'll go along with this, as crazy as it sounds, and I can do that. One day, one round, one time. But by the time I done marched all the way around that city one time and I ain't seen one crack in the wall, not one little piece of rubble has fallen, I ain't seen no progress. It'd be hard for me to go back that second day. And can you imagine 2 days turns to three rounds, three circling of the walls, no progress. Nothing. Everything's exactly the same. You know what God's doing? God is teaching them to trust him. God didn't need them to go around them walls one time a day and seven times on the seventh and blow the trumpets and shout. God didn't need that to happen in order for him to make the walls come down. But he was teaching his people to trust him. It was a process that did not make sense, but God was saying to them, if you will learn that you don't have to fight, if you'll just have faith in me, I will take care of the fight. Amen. Yeah. And most of the time what God's doing, it don't seem like it makes sense in our life. It's simply God teaching us to trust him. And if we'll just get to that point and quit trying to fight our own battles and do it our way and do it how we think's best and just let God do it, and follow him instead of being willing to fight every day. Saying, God don't want you to fight every battle. He's just trying to teach you to follow him. And he'll fight. Amen. I'd much rather God fight for me than me to have to fight. Some people ain't like that. Some people just oozing for a bruising. Some people just dying to fight. You know anybody like that? I do. If you don't know anybody like that, you might be that person. That's right. Well, so they were circling the walls. Number two, they were a conquering of the will. It's important. The battle at Jericho was not so much about God conquering Jericho as it was about God conquering Israel. That's right. I wonder how many of us are looking at an enemy and we ask, when am I going to defeat this? And God's saying, when am I going to defeat you? And you say, when am I going to conquer this? And God's saying, when am I going to conquer you? God was wearing down Jericho. Listen, God was not wearing down Jericho. He was wearing down Israel. Jericho didn't need wearing down, but the children of Israel did. That's why God was making them march. He was wearing them down. You remember Paul, the Apostle Paul? Tommy mentioned this in Sunday school. Paul was he was a godly man, one of the godliest men in the Bible. And Paul, you remember when Paul, a godly man, I mean a man who raised the dead, a man who was so godly, when his shadow passed by a sick man, the sick man got healed. His shadow, that's a pretty godly man. A man who literally penned the word of God right out of the heart of heaven. Paul prayed and said, Lord, I have a problem. I have an issue. I have a thorn in my flesh and it's killing me. And for three seasons of Holy Ghost season praying, he got a hold of God and really sought the Lord and said, Lord, take this from me. You know, God did not say yes to that godly man. He left him with his thorn. He said, I'll give you grace. You know why? I believe. Because God wasn't trying to conquer Paul's thorn. God was trying to conquer Paul. And God wasn't trying to conquer Jericho. God was trying to conquer the will of his people. And in order for us to ever get to a place where we can fully and truly trust God, he's going to have to conquer our will. You can't have your will and trust God too. You can't have it your way. I can't have it my way and still trust God too. I can't do it the way I think's best and still trust God's way too. So God's got to conquer our will. And that's what he was doing with his people. He was wearing them down. God was trying to conquer Israel because just as God was an unconventional God, they was an unconquered people. And so God had to get them to a place where they were willing to let God do as he would. As far as I know, this is the last time we read where God used this method of circling walls. As unorthodox as this method was, this strategy was, I believe this is the last time I read where God used this particular way of doing things. I don't read anywhere else where God told anybody to march around a place 7 times. 7 days. No, after that, I mean, they battled, they warred, and they fought with swords and spears and like everybody else did. They battled from then on. But here, I believe it's the last time that I read, you correct me if I'm wrong, that God did it this way. You say, what's the significance? It's not about the technique. It's not about exactly how it's done. God can do anything he wants to do, any way he wants to do it. The technique is irrelevant. He's God. He can do it anyway. And he's trying to teach them, it ain't the technique that matters. It's that you trust me. Because God can do it. No matter the technique. No matter the strategy. He's trying to conquer their will. It's not about the way he does it, but it's about the one who does it. And they were ready to fight. How many of us, well, let me move on. It's 12. Number 3, quickly. In closing, we see the circling walls and the conquering wheels. But number 3, the crushing worlds. I thought this was interesting. We went to Israel, and when we left Israel and we were headed down, you leave Israel and you go down toward Jericho. But do you know that Jericho that we went through is not the Jericho here that we read about? There was a Jericho in Jesus' day, but it wasn't the same Jericho. And there's a Jericho today in 2020, but it ain't this Jericho. Because this Jericho was destroyed, permanently destroyed. You never in the Word of God read about this place being a city again. It is a landmark. It is a place that Benjamin's land started here and went from Jericho. But it's just a place that they look back on. A landmark, a place of reference. It's not a city, because God ultimately destroyed this place. There was a world that was crushed. The Bible says on the seventh day, the priests blew the ram's horns at that shofar, and all the people shouted when all the people shouted, the walls came down. Now, you know this wasn't Baptist people, because the Bible said all the people shouted. That couldn't be Baptist. There's usually 2 or 3 in a Baptist church that'll shout, but it wasn't all. But when they all shouted, the walls came down. The walls fell, the Bible said, flat. They didn't fall outwardly. That would have crushed the children of Israel. They had to fall flat or inwardly. In other words, it had to happen exactly how God said it had to happen, or it would have messed up the whole crowd. You ever seen one of these videos and they're about to blow up a building? I like to watch that. I like to see a big building come crashing down. And they'll put these bombs all around a building or a bridge, and then they'll detonate that thing. I'm picturing in my mind Wile E. Coyote and the TNT, but that ain't how they do it these days. but they blow that building. But you ever seen something malfunction and not go the way it was planned. And one side of the building would blow up, and the other side would just get to leaning, and before you know it, that thing fell over a way that it should have never went. And it makes a mess. But if it's done right, they can take a strong, mighty skyscraper that's standing right in the middle of two others, and they can do it with such precision that that thing will fall flat and not disturb either building on each side. God, you say, but that's in the 21st century, and they've got all these engineers, and they know how to... Yeah, but this was way back then, and God knew back then what he was doing. Amen. He wasn't going to hurt his people. God was about to destroy a world. God was about to crush a world, an enemy of his people, and he was going to do it permanently and without fail so they'd never have to fight these people again. And the walls came down, and the people of God went in. You read on. They went in and they destroyed not just the men and women. They destroyed the asses and the donkeys and the sheep and everything that was in the land. They destroyed it all. Because it was imminently and permanently being crushed. So, do you know, if you fight your own battles, Brother Jimmy, and you do it the way you think's best, you'll keep having to fight that. But has God ever crush a world, an enemy in your life, that and he done it, and you don't have to worry about them things no more. They behind you. If God does it, it's done. That's why it's so critical that we get to a place where we trust God and know, even if it don't look right and don't feel right and it seems crazy, if we let God do it his way, and we will just learn, instead of fighting every battle, just to follow him and trust him, God can do things that we never dreamed. And he can permanently put away things that we have been fighting our entire life. That's a promise to me. You ever get tired of fighting the same old thing? Asking God to forgive you for the same old sin? Oh, none of y'all have to do that. You spiritual liar, you. Ain't you glad God don't give you this one ask? One I'm sorry? One... Have you ever went to the Lord and said, it's me again, Lord. I'm as frustrated with myself as you are. I'm so sick of me and this. Ain't you glad God don't write you off? But he does have a way, if we'll learn to trust him, that he can annihilate permanently those things that have constantly bombarded your life. Amen. From this point forward, Jericho was no longer a city, but just a landmark, a point of reference, because it was utterly destroyed. He says, we need to learn to trust God. Walk when he says walk. Fight when he says fight. And there will be times we have to fight. This is just the second miracle, and it was a great miracle, a great wonder. But they had to get involved, and they had to trust God. It couldn't be a few go rogue. Can you imagine if there was a little committee in this group of people, and they said, well, we just don't like how this is going. We don't think this is going to work. And so we're just going to go climb the walls. Well, that messed up the whole plan. It's important. They all had to shout. They all had to take part. Do you see? They're not just sitting back watching God do it all. They're getting involved. They all had to go in and kill the people and tear down the land. And it's important. And we'll, the last miracle that we'll look at next week be the miracle of time, when God made the sun stand still and God stopped time. And that's amazing. Next week's going to be But not to belittle this wonder and this miracle, because this was absolutely amazing too. When the walls of Jericho fell. Amen. The miracle of trust. I'm done this morning and we're about to go home. Are you tired of fighting things you've been fighting your whole life? Since God saved you, quit fighting your way. Quit fighting the way you know to do it. And just learn to follow God. Learn to trust God and know that His way is best. And it may not be getting done near as fast as you thought. You may feel like I'm seeing these same old things again. But if you'll trust God and follow Him, the walls will fall. The land will be destroyed. The enemy will fold. And you won't have to fight him anymore. That's deliverance I want to be a part of. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for our church, Lord. I pray you bless us and help us. Give us wisdom, Lord. Help us to follow you. Help us to learn to trust you. Lord, thank you, God, that your way is best. You know best, Lord. You know so much better than I do, God, than any of us do. I pray you'd lead us, Lord. Help us to learn to seek you, God. Learn to trust you. Learn to lean on you. I pray you'd help us. God, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I pray you'd speak to people's hearts. Lord, you've spoken to mine. I pray, God, you'd help us from your word. If anybody lost here today, I pray this will be the day they come to a saving knowledge of you. Help us to draw nigh to you this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You do business with God. These altars are open. You come. Amen. If we can help you, you come. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You come.
I did every wrong. So forever in heaven I could be. Jesus, how could you have loved me so?
All my sins forgave.
give me all I need. Even when I wake up to the storm, my soul cries peace. Sometimes it's hard to count them, there are too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, I'll just say, still blessed. To be with him. So in the morning, should you find me with my eyes closed in death, oh, what victory, what glory, still blessed.
There's never a day he doesn't give me all I soul cries peace.
Sometimes it's hard to count them, there are too many, I confess.
So with arms upraised, I'll just say, still blessed.
Sometimes it's hard to count them, there are too many,
like Mephibosheth in Lodabar, crippled by the fall. I was headed for hell, but grace underneath me when I'd fall in the way, grace on either side when I stray. Grace above me keeps me humble in the way. Grace and mercy follow me, it's grace, amazing grace. When troubles come my way and I don't know where to turn, I bow on my knees and seek his face. When mountains are so tall, I stumble and fall. So weak I can't go on, he gives more grace. Grace underneath me when I fall in the way. Grace on either side when I stray. Grace above me keeps me humble in the way. Grace and mercy follow me. Amazing grace. When I make it home, I'll enter heaven's gates. I'll bow before the Lord and humbly say, nothing in my hand I bring, to your cross I cling. Through eternity I'll thank him for his grace. For since the day by grace my soul was saved from sin, like Moses in the cleft of the rock, I'm safe in him. Not by works of righteousness, nothing I have done. I'm safe inside the rock of grace, Jesus, God's own Son. that's above me keeps me humble in the way. Grace and mercy follow me, it's grace, amazing grace, amazing grace. Let me tell you about Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. How Jesus saved my soul. Well, I went to an altar, knelt down to pray. I felt the Holy Spirit come down my way. Well, my soul began to tremble, and the joy began to roar. Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful feeling.
It's a wonderful feeling.
Just to ease your mind, sweetest joy you'll find. Well, my heart is feeling lighter. Every day is growing brighter. Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul. Well, I went to an altar, knelt down to pray. I felt the Holy Spirit come down my way. Well, my soul began to tremble, and the joy began to roar. Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul. Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul.
Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. Tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine.
He took my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. He bore my burden to Calvary, suffered and died alone.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how
some in glory. His face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How